It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Fritz is off today. I can say Fritz off, not the other way I
Thank
said
you.
It. He will be back tomorrow. Fritz off, not Jack. Fritz off. Joining us now, he hosts Middays at WFAN with Brandon Tierney, BT, and Sal. Sal Licata, the biggest Mets fan I know. Sal, thank you for joining us.
You know, who put that crappy BT and Sal show together anyway?
Some idiot. I heard he got fired. He got run out of town. Ruined WFAN. That was the rumor I heard.
What's going on, guys?
By the way, what's up, Sal? By the way, Sal, anytime you guys do anything that make everyone mad, I get tweets that I ruin the station. And I'm always like, I've been gone for a year and a half. Let me live, you know?
Yeah, you told BT to say that Juan Soto's not 26. I'm
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that was me. I texted him. I was like, BT, you know what's going to go over well? Use the line about him not looking, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I wanted to ask you this. So Joe Giglio, our midday host today, proclaimed the National League East over.
And,
right.
Yeah, that makes you happy.
Well, Sal once proclaimed the National League East over, and it didn't work. So do you have any, you know, advice for Joe on how to handle the next 6 weeks?
Dude, God bless, man. You better pray that the Phillies hold on and win the division. Now, I did a little prematurely. I mean, I did mine in May. So,
yes.
Joe, if you really want to do something, go out on a limb. Everybody knows it's over now. 7 games out, 32 games to play. Like, come on. Even BT could have said that, Joe.
Right.
Wow. But if they blow that one, then Joe's at big. Shut off your mentions, delete social media, because you're going to need a while.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Sal proclaimed the NL East over a couple years ago in May. The Braves came back and won the division. I believe the Braves mentioned it in the locker room afterwards, and Mets fans blamed Sal, still probably blame you for blowing that division that year.
Yeah, and I can't do anything or say anything about the NL East without that being referenced 3 years ago. I take more blame than Billy Epler and the Mets themselves for putting together that crappy team that choked it away. That I'm the one who gets blamed, not Pete Alonso, me.
Yep. Sal, yeah, it's still a big series. The Mets still in, you know, still. I know you said you think the division's over, but still wild card contenders. Now they have not played well in months. If you were to give us a big picture, you know, analysis of what's wrong with the Mets?
God, man, I think it's the starting pitching first and foremost. The inconsistencies with the two guys you're going to see first in the series with Senga and Minaya. It's hard to believe because last year I thought the Mets weren't a very good team, and then they do what they did, barely making the playoffs, going on a run. This year, I fully believe they're loaded talent-wise. Now, you could say there's inconsistencies throughout the sport, certainly with them, but I mean, with Soto, Alonso, Lindor, that should be enough to carry a lineup. Their bullpen, the additions that they made at the deadline. So I think they're a talented team that still can be dangerous. But I would say that overall, the biggest culprit probably in this brutal stretch here is the starting pitching.
Sal Licata with us of WFAN in New York. What has been the temperature with fans? I only see it from online, but like this was supposed to be a year, and especially the way it started out. Have people turned on them? Are they mad? Are they worried? Like, where is the fan sentiment?
Here's all you need to know. I have become the voice of reason. I have become the rational one. So fans are going nuts with all those expectations, ripping Soto, ripping everybody else. Season's over. Team is dead. Where I have to talk everybody back off the ledge, saying, like, hey, you know, it's not that you don't want to win the division, but just get in and anything is possible. But I think it is mostly negative where the fans are frustrated with the team, who has been bad really since April. I mean, you could go back to any benchmark. You want to go to June 13th, they've been one of the worst teams in the league. After April, they've been around a 500 team or under 500. So by a lot of measurements, they have not played good baseball for a long time. But I still do believe, just like the Phillies did a couple years ago, or the Diamondbacks, or any other team over the last 30 years that has struggled, once they get in, can be dangerous. I still do believe that with the Mets, but I think their fans overall are disappointed the way that things have gone the last 3 months or so.
Has the feeling turned for Juan Soto yet?
There's the nickname Juan Solo, which
right.
I don't like because the majority of his home runs have been solo. I would nickname him Juan 100 because everything the guy does, you get 100 walks. 100 runs scored, obviously over 100 hits. I still think he'd get 100 ribbies, even though he's at 70-something now, but 32 games to go. So,
I think he's put on 100 pounds since last year.
That's a good one. But yeah, so remember, I was the first one to rip Juan Soto. We talked about that.
You guys, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, after 20 games, he wasn't. So I saw this coming 20 games in, like, wait a second, this isn't the guy, because he hasn't been hitting in the clutch. So fans have been frustrated with him, but you got to think about it this way. I mean, we're talking about a bad year, a down year. He's got 32 home runs.
Yes.
You know, he's still impactful, again, leading the league in walks. So has he been everything that we expected? Probably not yet, but that could change in one postseason or even in a series like this against the Phillies.
I mean, he's still young, man. 26 years old, man. A lot of baseball left to play.
Some depends on who you ask, right? So. You brought it up. I'm always interested on the outside perspective of the Phillies. So when you look at the Phillies, what do you see? They have a great record, and they've been much better after the break than they were last year. That said, it hasn't felt this year like they're some sort of dominant team. So what is the New York Met fan perspective of the Phillies right now?
Couple of things. I think after last year, where I thought the Phillies clearly were superior to the Mets, and then the Mets disposed of them in four in the division series, makes me not fear them. However, I've been watching them a little more closely in the last couple of weeks, scoreboard watching, hoping to keep the division alive, and they're just better. I mean, Real Muto, a stud, a proven stud. I know he's not having a great year. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, you know, it's Kyle Schwarber having an MVP-type year, so I don't need to go over all the names, but I think that they're good. I think that they're better than the Mets. They've been more consistent, the pitching as well. Here's where I really respect the Phillies. They didn't go into the trade deadline saying, let's protect the future and not give up assets, but try to improve our team. They went in and said, we have a need. Here's the best guy in Duran. Let's go get him. So they gave up more, sure, but it wasn't one of these, oh, they didn't give up a lot but improved their club. It was, yeah, it hurt. They gave up the number three prospect or whatever it was in their system, but they also got the best guy. Look at what Helsley's done with the Mets. He's stunk. So the Mets were like, Mets and Yankees both, oh, yeah, we improved the club but kept all our prospects and saved some money. I'd rather do what the Phillies did, go more all in and get the better player, and you see what that's done.
You know, it's funny the perspective you get, because we were mad they didn't trade more young guys. If you can believe that, like and I think it was because there were a lot of rumors about Stephen Kwan and the inconsistency of the Phillies lineup. It's funny to hear you say that. It's a nice sort of reality check and perspective, because we were like, should have given up Painter, you know, or Aiden Miller or something like that. So it is an interesting perspective that you think the Phillies went sort of all in. And I do think they got the best closer at the deadline.
Well, in comparison to the Mets and Yanks, where they kind of half-assed it. Yeah, Bednar is good. Helsley's a good arm. But the key takeaway was always, well, they didn't give up much to get these guys. Clearly, if you put them all on a line, who do you want? Duran, Bednar, or Helsley? I mean, obviously the answer is Duran. So it doesn't matter the value, at least to me. If you got to give up more to get the best player, you do it because you're trying to win. So you could always want more. I understand that aspect too, but at least the Phillies did more than the Mets did.
Sal Licata, WFAN, with us right now.
I'm just going to say, how's the city feeling about this series? I'm, you know, seven games down. You can't make up more ground than facing a team head-to-head, so this is a great opportunity for the Mets. I'm just wondering, what's the atmosphere going to be like in Citi Field tonight for this matchup, in this series?
I still think it'll be an electric atmosphere. I think yesterday's loss hurt the Mets. I mean, they had a stretch of 12 games where they were playing the Nationals and Braves the majority of those games. And go figure, they beat the Mariners, the one tough team, 2 out of 3. And they squandered an opportunity. I think they went 6-6 over those 12. They needed to go 9-3, 8-4. Even if they won yesterday and have this be a six-game deficit with still 7 left against the Phillies, you can make an argument. So I think yesterday's loss against Atlanta and the Phillies winning 7 games back with 32 to play is tough. So there's still, like you said, the expectation of the playoffs. So I expect it to be an electric crowd. It's been a tough ticket, at least from my account in New York. I know you can probably get them cheap, but you know, as far as getting freebies or easy ones, I think that that's a little difficult for this particular series. But the division race, everybody kind of feels like it's over. It would take a miracle, starting with a sweep, and even then, it would still take a miracle for the Mets to win the division.
Tough ticket. There are thousands of tickets available for less than $18, Sal. What are we talking about?
Maybe in the uppers. Who wants to sit in the uppers? Not me.
Might be electric with Phillies fans in there. Come on, man. Who wants to go all the way out to that stadium? Final thing, Sal. You were a big Steve Cohen guy, King Cohen. I imagine you're Stearns guy, right? Your general manager. Have you lost any faith in either of those guys?
Yeah, not Cohen. I still believe in King Cohen, but Stearns is going to be the first one. I don't want to say on the chopping block. That's obviously too extreme. But he built this pitching staff, which I felt wasn't good enough coming in. Had to give him the benefit of the doubt because of the success they had last year. But also, again, the deadline where it's like, yeah, that's nice, but you didn't go all the way in. And we'll see what he does in another big offseason, whether it's Alonso or others. I don't believe David Stearns has the aggression that is needed in New York. He's just like everybody else where they try to be too smart and win the deal and halfway things and get value deals. And ultimately, that's going to come back to bite them when you have other teams that are more aggressive. So I respect the intelligence. I don't respect the lack of aggression. And if they fall short, and they're going to already fall short of the division, that's strike one. If they don't win the World Series, and that doesn't look like that's going to happen, that's a problem here. This is supposed to be a World Series winning team. So he's got to build it to that, not patience and developing the young guys. Don't care about that. We want a World Series win. So Stearns, to me, would be one of the first guys up to take the blame if they fall short.
Well, there is Sal Licata. You can hear him, BT and Sal, midday as a WFAN. I got to tell you, Sal, I started feeling this when I lived there, and now more as I don't live there. I hate Met fans more than I think any fan. They're the worst combination. You know, Knicks fans are annoying, but they sort of remind me of Eagles fans a little bit. Mets fans are the biggest combination of, like, whiny and loud and awkward. It's a really bad group.
Well, that's what happens if you blame the fan base of the team cheating at home. I mean, you're going to get that blowback that you got. Right,
I didn't
here.
Say they were cheating. I just was asking questions. I was asking questions.
By the way, I wish they were cheating. I mean, maybe they wouldn't lose to the Nationals of Braves.
All right, Sal. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Sal.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Sal Licata. You know, it's funny hearing him criticize David Stearns as wanting to win the deal, not going in enough at the deadline. They sound exactly like the criticisms I had of Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, well, we wanted a little more done, and they're looking at it like, well, hell, at least the Phillies did that. We couldn't even do that.
Yes, and by the way, watching Duran, and I know we blew a save over the weekend, but...
as soon as Fritz said...
said he wasn't going to blow a save? Oh, yeah. He was locking it up. We both looked at him. Yeah. What are you saying?
Yeah.
That night...
It happened that night.
That night, he blows a save.
Yeah.
And it was like... The thing about Duran is that is interesting, because you see a guy out there that throws 103, and you assume he's striking everybody out, but that's not really his game. He pitches to contact. He gets a lot of ground balls. It really was, I don't want to say bad luck. There was some bad luck in both of those appearances. But watching him.
He got hit a couple times Saturday, too.
Yeah.
They got out of it.
Yeah, but it was like, again, they weren't hitting, but like our other relief pitchers, when they hit Strom, the ball goes 600 feet.
Yeah.
When they hit Robertson, the ball goes 600 feet. When they hit Romano, the ball goes 800 feet. When it seems like when they hit Duran, it's a hit them where they ain't kind of situation. But watching him, I do appreciate the deadline more that he is the guy that they got, because there were a lot of relievers available.
Yep.
And he seems so far like he is the best.
The best
one.
Of the bunch. Yep.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike, let's see if you can predict the response on this one. Do you think Jack will beat Joe in their 400-meter race tomorrow? Yes or no? What do you think the response is?
I got to think most people think Fritz is going to win. So I'll go with 68% Fritz.
Very close. 66.2%.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I was way off earlier today.
If we had taken this poll 2 months ago or 3 months ago,
it would have been higher.
It would have been 90% Fritz. The fact that 33% of people think Jack is going to lose in a foot race to Joe DeCamera?
Yeah. I wonder if, do people feel the longer the race, does it favor DeCamera? Because most people would know he's not going to win a sprint.
Yeah, I think a longer race doesn't favor.
So I don't know who it favors. I mean, that's what I would think, too.
And 400 meters is not... They're not running a marathon tomorrow.
It may feel like one to them.
Do we want to? All right, we all should put a number in here. The winning runner tomorrow. So it is quarter mile. So 2 minutes around the lap would be around the track would be an 8 minute mile. Ike, do you want to predict the time of the winner tomorrow? Of how long it took them to get around?
I'll go with. It's going to be more than 2 minutes. I'll go with, but it'll be less than 2:30. I'll go with 2:24.
That would be...
You think it's going to take 3 minutes?
No, I hope it's lower than 224.
Oh.
Justin looks shocked. Do you want to give...
It should be faster?
Do you want to give your number?
I mean, if you're a runner, like Jack claims to have been... At one point,
he
it should
ran.
Be faster.
Unless he's
okay, sure. He was a runner. He ran
back into the past. Like, yeah. Last time I saw him, I don't care what he says. He doesn't look like he's in shape to really sprint around.
No. He's been gliding off that down 20 everybody's talking about it for 8 months now.
I see him running at a nice pace.
Yeah.
And as long as he's ahead of the camera,
yeah.
I don't think he pushes himself.
That's a good point,
well,
too.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah. If he's far enough ahead, he's just run a win.
He's not going to push himself, yeah.
Yeah, I think that line that you just said is a good number. 225 over under that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I would hope under.
Yeah.
But now Ike's making me think over. So I'll go over.
Over 225?
I'll go over, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about two bums.
All right.
You are strong in there.
Yeah.
We had to cut his mic off.
Yeah. I'm going to say 211.
211?
Okay. 211. I'm going to say Jack wins at 211. And I will say that the camera comes in at
230.
236. 236. Which, by the way.
Does he finish running or does he? And when he realizes he's lost, does he just walk the rest of the way?
All right. You know me and how I am. If yes. he stops, I'm going to scream at him until he finishes. He better not stop. He better not stop. I'm a real problem at these things. I'm a real problem. And if
I'm glad you admit me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm the total problem. I was a problem during baseball. I was a problem during golf.
Yep.
I was not really a problem during tennis because Jack was getting his ass kicked and we all had to stay quiet anyway.
Yeah, we just had to accept it.
Yeah,
yes.
But I will tell you this. If Jack wins and Joe stops running, I'm not going to be quiet. 215-592-9494. Cowboy Jim, you're on WIP. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Since I'll probably hang up on you guys at the end, losers, listen, a good gift is a year's worth of lawn care. That's a really good gift. Someone to cut your grass.
Who's giving gifts out like this?
What's wrong with a year's worth? It's only like maybe $300.
What lawn are you talking about?
Well, I'm not talking about your 10 acres, out in the middle of Laurelton or something like that.
Well, first of all, he lives on an acre as well. I'm just saying, lawn care for a year, $300?
Yeah, that's what I say.
Nah.
Okay. No. All right, fine, whatever, Mr. I've got everything I needed in life. All right, listen, I'd like to report a disgruntled employee. That would be DeRozio, getting a little chesty on there as a producer.
Really?
All right, definitely.
On the air or off the air?
Both.
Off the air.
He said both.
When I call him on John Johnson, he's so sweet to me. He's so nice. Now all of a sudden he's just yelling at me and trying to pick a fight with me.
I'm talking about Superman while we're on the phone. It's like we got a show to do here.
Yeah,
That's probably why you missed OG Wade, because you're probably watching Superman for the fourth time. That horrible movie.
All right.
Good Lord.
Well, I think everybody's on edge when they produce this show because I'm a problem. And by the way, Justin, he got chesty with me, if you remember this, a month and a half ago. I've been doing this job for 2 years.
And you've been kind to me ever since. So a little bit of chest goes a long way.
Oh.
It does.
All right.
That's what she said.
What else do you have?
All right, listen. I'm sorry, OG Wade, but I have to do this. Ike, listen to me.
Yes.
What is it? Jalen is either a fraud or the NFL is a bad product. After watching Jerry Jones and that great Netflix series, I've learned one thing, that Troy Aikman is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He played up against the San Francisco 49ers, Jerry Rice,
yep.
Steve Young,
yep.
He played against two of the greatest teams of all time with Brett Favre and the Packers in the NFC Championship game. Who did Jalen Hurts play in NFC Championship games? He played a rookie from Washington. He played against a running back, with San Francisco. So don't sit here and tell me he's number 19. He's one of the greatest. So come on, how do you react to that? The NFL is just a bad product, and Jalen is part of it.
Wow.
Wow, what a weird...
What about your quarterback?
Weird complaint, yeah.
I'm not talking about my quarterback right now. I'm talking about this Jalen Hurts is the top five. He's this, he's that. We're just living in a different era right now where the NFL is just a bad product.
Well, I'm surprised that you know, you don't see the parallel between Jalen and Troy Aikman. Jalen can't control. Jalen can't control his opponents. All I'm simply saying is Troy was more known for being a winner than anything else.
Troy could have thrown it left-handed against the 49ers, who Jalen played, against the Washington Commanders, and they would have won. He played up against
That's not the point that I'm making.
Time.
That's not the point that I'm making, Cowboy Jim.
The point that I'm making is
that your quarterback, Troy Aikman, back then was less about stats and aesthetics and was more about winning. That's what he was labeled, a winner, a leader and a winner.
But he played against
About who he played against. I can't control that. Neither can Jalen. All I'm saying is Jalen is more known as being a winner than anything else, which is what Troy was pretty much known for. By the way, Jimmy Johnson loved him so much, he didn't even play him in the playoffs when he started the majority of the year.
Any quarterback would given a gift like that, having to play, you know, the Giants and then the 49ers with a backup quarterback. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. How many of those games did Troy put the team on his back and go win?
I don't know. Probably about a dozen.
He made one good throw. He made one great throw to Alvin Harper.
On third and one,
and he ran the slant for the touchdown.
There were hundreds of passes to Michael Irvin.
No, but I'm talking about they weren't close games.
There were hundreds of passes.
Emmitt Smith won those games. He did.
Against one of the greatest teams of all time.
Yes.
Did Jalen go up with one of the greatest teams of all time?
He didn't.
He beat the Chiefs. Now, he didn't beat the Chiefs. He didn't. Saquon Barkley and the
Chiefs. Guess what? Troy Aikman won three Super Bowls. He was the MVP of one of them.
So what? But look what he did in the NFC
Championship. What do you mean, so what? That means other people on his team won the MVP. So how great was he in the Super Bowl?
On the NFC Championship games. Look what he did. Against a team that was so much better than the Cowboys. Look what he did.
Don't be upset. Jalen, we don't like it either. I hate even bringing it up, but it's the only true comparison I could find. He's like Troy Aikman. Jalen, Troy Aikman. They win.
No. Jalen Hurts against, say,
Telling me who is he going up against. All I'm telling you is Troy Aikman. And by the way, they dominated for 4 years. You didn't win squat after 95. You haven't even been back to the NFC Championship game in 30 years. So that whole dominating the 90s, that was like a 3 or 4 year. That was a 4 year run.
It was 4 years.
It was a 4 year run.
Okay. Well, hey, by the way, who was the Cowboy representative at the Fantasy Football Club?
We didn't have one.
We didn't do that. We didn't have a stupid cowboy representative.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous. Goodbye, losers.
All right. Well, that was an old school Cowboy Jim call.
Well, he wanted to keep poking at the Jalen thing until I had to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, it was.
Well, it wasn't going to be you that defended Jalen.
Well, it's better if it's you. Nobody cares if it's me. Nobody cares what I say at this point. They know what I think. Whatever. Seventh best quarterback in the NFL. 215-592-9494. Coming up next.
Well, that was probably Aikman during that time.
I think
probably probably top five, maybe.
Something like that. Yeah, right around top five.
Yeah.
And he won three Super Bowls.
He did.
And that team,
I agree.
And that team was the difference between that team and this Eagles team, or at least at this point, that Cowboys team was undoubtedly the most dominant team of that.
They should have won more.
Yeah, of that time period.
Yeah, they should have won more.
Coming up next, a very...
By the way,
well,
if you can stomach it, not a bad documentary.
Oh, the Netflix?
Yes.
Cowboys doc.
Not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. Watching the new Alien show. I don't watch a lot of shows, but it's good.
It's a nice watch if you got nothing else on. It's Netflix. They're about 45-minute episodes.
Okay.
So it kind of goes through it quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, Ike loves the Cowboys show.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yep. Coming up next, a really, 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 really upsetting thing I learned about a Philadelphia sports executive.
Uh-oh.
Really upsetting.
Executive?
Yes.
That's intriguing.
Yep. Coming up next, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.